This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
John Carvalho, CEO Synonym, Lisbon.
The rooster of Barcelos, also known as Galo de Barcelos in Portuguese, is a well-known symbol of Portugal and a popular cultural icon that symbolizes faith, justice, and good luck. It is believed to bring prosperity, protection, and blessings to those who possess it. Is Bitcoin your Galo de Barcelos?
Yes.
Do you consider yourself a toxic Bitcoin maxi?
Yes.
Lisbon, the capital city of Portugal, offers a rich culinary tradition influenced by its history, geography, and cultural diversity. Do you prefer bacalhau à Brás over pastéis de nata?
No.
Are you going to speak at the Bitcoin Amsterdam conference this year again?
No.
I prefer to see Bitcoin as a medium of exchange instead of a store of value.
Yes and no.
Do you own a pet?
No.
Do you know Lisbon is one of the oldest cities in the world, predating other European capitals such as Rome, London, Paris by centuries?
No.
Do you prefer a glass of port wine over a glass of vinho verde?
I have no idea.
Bitcoin is a great savings instrument so far. Have you figured out what you're saving for yet?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 104 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P and Bringin. Thank you guys for helping us out with our mission. And if you also want to help out with our mission to connect the world with Bitcoin and Lightning, then follow us on Twitter or subscribe at YouTube, or you can ask us anything in one of our Telegram groups. And of course, a donation is always welcome.
Conecta el mundo.
Welcome, John.
Welcome
to the show.
John, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the real show, because 2 years ago we had you on the couch in Amsterdam. And we just found out that you're not speaking this year. So we can't welcome you at Braai too, at our meetup where you had some barbecue with us. So that's unfortunate.
I do really like Amsterdam, but no, it's the timing has been off now for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Hey, and do you know, because one thing that stood out for me at the meetup we organized is that we were talking outside, and then some, I think it was a guy from Argentina, he interrupted us, and he joined us in our conversation at the streets, and he told us that he made a bot who is 99% trading a profit. Do you recognize that that conversation we had? Or
a bot?
Yeah, a bot. So a trading bot.
Oh, a bot. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant like an ass.
I was also thinking the same way. I thought, what is he saying?
A trading bot. Can you recall that conversation we had with him?
I mean, it's definitely a conversation I've had more than once, so I'm not surprised. Yeah. Do I recall that?
But it was so
exactly
funny because you said, you looked at him and you said, so he was like, he was selling the thing to us. And the only thing you said is, oh, so you're a millionaire. And he was like, well, not yet. Yeah, but I mean, it's 99% of profit. I mean, what are you talking, not yet? You should be a millionaire by now. Otherwise, it isn't working. And he was like, He hadn't had the good response to that, and he just walked off, and he was like, okay, let's find someone else to sell my stuff to. So, it was very amusing to me.
I learned that response from someone else though.
Really?
Didn't come up. Yeah, like I have actually been in that conversation many times, and that I think I picked that up from someone else. I was like, oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, man, because I had exactly the same, but I thought it was improvised by you, so I was like, oh, that's a really clever answer to it. Because
I had to recall it really quickly, but I didn't invent it.
okay, cool. Because normally you go in, it's like you step into details very quickly, right? So let me explain it to me. How does it work? And then you want to peel off everything, and then come to the conclusion that it's just not the thing that he is selling you. But that's the only question you need to ask is, are you a millionaire? And he's like, no. And then you're like, okay, well, go fuck yourself.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I think I probably also said, then why would you sell it if it worked? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, something like that. I know, because he was quite young. I think he was in the beginning 20s or something. So he was also a bit nervous, something like that. So he was like, well, that's not my, there's not the competition I'm looking for. That's what I could tell of his face. So
the question Steph put in was, the second one, do you consider yourself a toxic Bitcoin maxi? And I'm following you quite long now on Twitter, on X, and where you're always touching boundaries there to have a conversation started. And sometimes it's how do I say it? It just triggers people to from all parts, so lefties, right, doesn't matter. To think about something and or to totally disagree, is it something you do on purpose? Because no. I love it, really.
I can't help it, is what it is. It comes naturally. Sometimes I'm being a little creative or expressing myself and just kind of being my Twitter version of myself. But no, it really is something I can't actually help. It's just the way I actually am. That annoying. Maybe not as much in person, because it's not just text, you know, there's some inflection to my voice that softens things and such. But I really do like arguing. I consider it like a pursuit of the truth. It's my own little scientific method. And, you know, it's kind of like that guy with who puts up the sign, like, you know, convince me. I forgot what the meme is, but, you know, a controversial thing. And then, you know, argue with me or whatever it is. I forget how the meme goes, but I like arguing. I think it's a great way of learning, and I like to challenge people's like comfort zones. And I think people get a little too comfortable with like they emotionally attach to ideas, and I like to kind of try to bring it back.
But especially if you're stuck in the echo chamber, right? Then things get really messy. So every now and then,
to argue with you now.
No, but the nice thing is we, and that the people don't know, but for preparation of the show, we ask every guest we have to fill in favorite food, favorite thing, favorite movie, and we have also favorite sport, and you filled in arguing. It's favorite sport, arguing. I'm like, oh, it's true. That's the John I know.
I do not watch any sports. I don't care about any sports.
I'm reading this one, John, here. Lightning will never be cheaper than Visa, and for many people, too expensive and cumbersome, but it will always have a place in business to business. There was a conclusion talking about some math with the Bitcoin wallet and BlockTank LSP. That was an interesting quote, I think. And a lot of discussion there.
It's also, I don't know if it's objectively true, but it's entirely rational, at least.
Yeah. Because you're using math to explain it, and then people can think, well, this is a no-brainer, or totally disagree. Well, this is short-sighted or something. I don't know.
I learned a lot from been doing Bitcoin and then been part of Bitcoin businesses for a few years now.
Yeah,
and you just kind of get to learn these patterns and these things, and you get like. You just start realizing that there's always this initial hype cycle where people just really exaggerate and actually believe like that there's no bounds to the, like, the wonder that is possible with this new technology that somebody's talking about. And I think a lot of us fell victim to that with lightning. I'm not saying lightning's horrible or mm-hmm. evil so much as it's definitely not as magical as we set out.
Yeah.
And is lightning already mature enough for mass adoption, you think?
No.
Or are we way off?
I mean, what do you consider mass adoption? Like, I don't think Bitcoin is ready for mass adoption.
Yeah, but the thing is, we can't change much about Bitcoin, right? Yeah, using soft forks maybe, but
I mean, yes and no. Technically, you can't change anything. Technically, you can change anything. It just depends on what perspective you're looking at it. Like, mm-hmm. the rules are the rules, and if you break the rules, you create a fork. But that doesn't mean you can't successfully create a fork. We've done it before. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we need to do it in a couple of years, right? When it's something to do with the time. Or something.
I have a feeling it's not as inevitable as people think, but people say there's at least, you know, one hard fork that will be required due to some overflow bug or something. I forget what it is. I mean, we figured out things we thought we had to do with hard forks before without doing a hard fork. And so maybe that's not true, but I'm kind of out of my league to make that comment.
And me too, man. So let's stop it here. Hey, Bitcoin is a great savings instrument so far. Have you figured out what you are saving for yet? Was the question you've asked on your Twitter, and you said yes. Is it something you can share with us, or is it too personal?
No, I actually shared it in the last podcast I did. But I'll say that the reason why I tweeted that wasn't necessarily just about myself. It was that, you know, it was kind of to counter the narratives about people saying never sell your Bitcoin, like Michael Saylor says, never sell your Bitcoin. And I just think that there's a context for everything. You know what I mean? And you sell your Bitcoin whenever the hell you want. That's the point. Like, that nobody can stop you. And that's the interesting thing. And so I want people to, like, think that way, to think, okay, when will I sell my Bitcoin? Like, when will I? And now selling versus trading and spending, these are all semantic things people can get wrapped up in too. But in the end, it's always converting to something else. I think that Bitcoin is a great savings instrument, and thus savings is a plan for spending later. And savings with no plan is just no plan. Like, it's not really a strategy. And so, in the short term, I'm hoping to be a homeowner again. And so I'd like to, you know, sometime over the next year and a half, sell some Bitcoin to be able to have a down payment and get a mortgage and, you know, leverage the system a little bit again. Yep. But that's really my only plan for the moment. Other than that, to help family whenever I can. That's about it.
And I think those things are worth selling your Bitcoin for, right? I mean,
it's subjective. You know, worth it to me, maybe not to you. It's, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I own, like, I have my node, and on my node there are just some lightning sets, and I use those sets to spend. So really spend Bitcoin in the cafe we have here in Haarlem, Bitcoin Cafe, or at conferences and everything. And then I have obviously my savings plan for life-changing stuff, I would say. But I agree with you that everyone is free of choice when to spend or convert to something different. Or maybe
control.
I also want us all to sound like Ponzi pumpers, you know? Like, what was that lady's name from OneCoin? Ruja. It's like, what is the difference between Ruja saying, you know, don't sell your OneCoin, and Michael Saylor saying, don't sell your Bitcoin? You know, I know OneCoin was an actual Ponzi, but Bitcoin, any money can behave the same way. It just doesn't matter if there's a leader. You can have a very temporary increase in demand, and then you get crashes.
Interesting.
You're living only once, Steph, so...
Yeah, true. True.
So if you're 98, then maybe I will sell my.
No.
Most people don't have an inheritance plan either. So
No. I don't have a need of a boat. So
and then
need to work
it
on that.
It gets out of the market because nobody has your private key or.
No, you can take some precautions for that, right? So, hey, John, let's talk about Synonym, man. That's sure. why we ask you to do this show with us, but it has to be in the 21 minutes. So okay. If you're ready, and we are, we would really love to enter that part. Are you ready, John?
Ready.
Let's do it.
The 21 minutes is brought to you by Bringin, the app to reliably sell and spend Bitcoin from any wallet. Yeah, let's start with, at Synonym, you believe in the original Bitcoin vision. So everyone's having self-ownership and control over their own digital assets. You were just saying about also selling and not only hodling or use it as a medium of exchange. And the Lightning Network will allow businesses and platforms to require less custody of assets and information. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, why this is so important?
Sure. I mean, this is, you may have, if some of you follow me, you may say I draw a pretty hard line between custody and self-custody, you know, using a custodian and holding it yourself. And I don't really have a lot of tolerance for things on the other side of the line, or at least not as much tolerance as the current culture in Bitcoin. Well, the whole reason is just like when you try to like model it out into the future, if you believe that Bitcoin is going to be something that only rich people can afford to do on-chain transactions, then you're just recreating the old system and you're basically solving money for rich people. And I don't think that's what anyone set out to do. And so a lot of the culture around like having a citadel and having servants and whatever the visions people have for being like the new elite, that's not why I'm here. And it's, I really don't think it's why Satoshi made Bitcoin. And so I see it as, if you're not holding it yourself, then you're just not using Bitcoin. And if that's not what you're optimizing for, then you're just not a Bitcoin maximalist. It doesn't mean that all other perspectives are evil. Once again, it just means that that's, you know, where I draw the line. And so Synonym is like an extension of these things, except we're trying to apply that philosophy not only to Bitcoin, but to Lightning for, you know, making payments or maybe using it as a currency, you could say. And also for data. And so we're also working on peer-to-peer web stuff and trying to, you know, take the same philosophies for Bitcoin to say, you know, how do you stay in control of your own data, your own identity, your own, you know, endpoints, to be in the abstract.
And is the Lightning Network then necessary, in your opinion, to make sure that Bitcoin isn't only for the rich? Because, yeah, when the network is getting busier and busier, and we won't, and in a world that we didn't have Lightning Network, for instance, then it would be very almost impossible for people with less capital to hop on the train, right, or to use the network.
I can't say for sure that it's necessary so much as that it seems like it's going to help. If that means it's necessary, I guess. But yeah, it's like we were talking about earlier, I do think that its capabilities are more limited than we originally anticipated. And that means that its ability to help scale Bitcoin and have a lot more people holding it themselves will be limited. And this is true of all scaling proposals for layers or even the pseudo custodial things. They all have their limits, and they all have their trade-offs, significant trade-offs. So, you know, it's more likely we need like a lot of advances in hardware and telecommunications if we want to scale Bitcoin to be, you know, mass adopted than anything else, because that's how you keep it decentralized despite it having larger blocks or whatever other type of, you know, overhead you want to put on people that are trying to hold it themselves.
Yeah. And well, talking about scalability, I was immediately thinking, how do you approach with Synonym building on Bitcoin and Lightning with these concerns in mind? Because scalability, I guess, is a very important aspect. What is needed in the future and how can Synonym help with this?
We try not to be terribly opinionated in an actual active way when it comes to the Bitcoin protocol. We're not protocol developers. We don't contribute to the Lightning. Well, we do contribute a little bit to the Lightning spec through the LSP spec group, but we don't really we're not looking to ruffle feathers as far as the consensus goes. A lot, even my ruffling of feathers in my, you know, topics on Twitter, it's just theoretical. It's not meant to be like, this is what I think we must do now. It's just meant to be like, here's how you think about this problem. And if you don't think about this problem this way, you're not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, but you can be in a position someday, I don't know if you are, but that people are thinking that the things that you say could be, that you have a solution and you're leading the way to the next best thing. I don't know, perhaps.
If I have a solution for something, I'm not scared to behave that way. You know, in other words, like when we release the next version of what we're doing for peer-to-peer web, I'm not going to be like shy and say, oh, this is, we don't have a strong opinion on this. No, this is our opinion. This is how we think you should do it. But I just don't like to be that way about Bitcoin because it's more consensus oriented. In peer-to-peer, what's consensus is what's mutual, and it can be extremely fragmented. So you have a lot more freedom to both design and operate as a peer, as long as you're willing to run more and more of the infrastructure yourself, just like with Bitcoin. But it's a much, I don't know, it's a much more colorful palette that you can paint with than with Bitcoin.
Yeah, and Synonym is working on several ambitious projects, such as the BitKit wallet, BlockTank LSP, in collaboration with Holepunch on peer credit. BlockTank LSP is a Lightning service provider. You just mentioned it, that businesses, apps, web platforms, or Bitcoiners can use to monetize Lightning Network connections and automatically manage channel liquidity. There's been a lot of talk about LSP, so Lightning service providers. In your opinion, why are they so important?
Well, because there's a lot of complexity in Lightning. You know, to put it simply, there's a lot of complexity, and that complexity needs to be managed by someone. And typically, that's not something you want to put on an end user, particularly one in a mobile phone wallet. And you can't, you know, do everything you would normally do on a normal computer. So, like operating systems in mobile, like they put the app to sleep when you close it, things like this. So the cool part about Lightning is that the degree of centralization of it matters a lot less. It's not that it doesn't matter at all, but it matters a lot less because you still have a, you know, you're as a your peer, if your counterparty misbehaves or becomes unresponsive, you can always close the channel, assuming you can afford the on-chain fee at that time to do it. So there are a lot of caveats to, like, Lightning becomes a lot more, even more fragile when fees are increasing. And so there's a lot of stuff to manage there, you know, between routing fees and channel management, liquidity, just the complexity of Lightning itself and the protocol, all of the interoperability between different implementations, within each implementation, like you have LDK, LDK node, RN LDK. Like there's just a lot of delicacy there, a lot of stuff that can break, and it very often does. And so you can see, for example, like the most stable Lightning project at the moment is the async stack with Phoenix, and it's because the most self-custodial setup, and it's because they run the entire stack, and the only thing their company does is run that stack, you know, from the server to the wallet client and to the LSP. They run it all, and that's the only thing their company does. And if that's what it takes to get Lightning to be stable, then you're going to have a pretty centralized Lightning, right? Arguably, potentially too centralized. You're going to have, like, you know, say 10 years from now, it's only Async and Lightspark running Lightning, you know, major hubs. This is an issue, you know? if it's every merchant or every large merchant running a hub, then it looks a lot better. It's a lot more economically sound, but yeah.
Yeah, we talked with Severin Bueller in episode 84, also about this topic, about Lightning service providers. Are you also working together with others that are building an LSP?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier with the LSP spec. So there's a lot of different companies working in Lightning, and even ones specifically trying to do LSPs, like C Equals from the Block family of companies. They all participate in it. It seems to be a successful spec effort. A lot of competitors in there all trying to work towards the same goal. So I think it's pretty cool. It will eventually make it so any like wallet that you're using that is using Lightning and an LSP, you'll just be able to choose your LSP, and you'll have the same user experience as far as the user interface and such, and the user won't have to know. like, for example, in our case, what we're hoping to do is we don't serve US and Canadian customers for our LSP. And so what we're hoping is to do something like when somebody loads the app in the US, it just switches to a US compatible, you know, LSP, and the user doesn't know the difference, you know?
Yeah,
that and sounds great.
Are there any other exciting future specifications or features to the Synonym Blockdink LSP spec that you can share with us?
Well, it's not the Synonym LSP spec; it's the communities. Like we don't own it or dictate any of it. We have Severin there representing, you know, our interests, and mostly just representing the interests of Lightning. Like, we're not really trying to bias the outcome. But yeah, there's things like making. You know, JIT channels is a spec. And so this makes it so you can receive your first Lightning payment without having a channel yet. Mm-hmm. Some wallets already support this. Ours has kind of a temporary version that simulates this because we don't have all the LDK can't do everything about this yet. And we'll have probably, I think, I don't know if that they've agreed to it yet, but another future thing would be maybe a Watchtower spec and agreeing on that through the lens of an LSP. Because the thing about watchtowers is like we as LSPs, we all need them to exist, but we all need somebody else to run them because it makes no sense for the LSP to be both the LSP and the watchtower for our user.
And you talked about it earlier about the non-custodial future. The aim for it is an ambitious one. How do you see, LSPs, are they going to bridge the gap between self-custodial and custodial Lightning wallets, you think?
I suppose you could call a custodial wallet an LSP, or usually there'll be one backing it somehow. I think maybe what you're getting at is kind of like, for example, like how eCash mints are planning to use Lightning as a way to bridge all of them. I think that that's something they have to do. Do I think it's viable? Not really. I think it's just, you know, they'll string it all together and they'll demonstrate it, but I don't think it will reach any kind of scale because the issue, you have a lot of issues there. Like every mint is a new asset. Like it's not technically Bitcoin, right? And that's why they have to use Lightning to bridge them, is so they can actually be compatible. So they all have these separate ledgers and these separate assets. And this creates a lot of conversion, which creates either centralization, need for exchange. It puts the mint in a position of acting as not only a custodian, but also a payment processor. And so the regulations are going to be very applicable, if not already, honestly. It's just that these things, while nobody uses them, fly under the radar. But as soon as you get them to any scale that's actually useful, they're no longer under the radar. They have to actually run as a business and make money and follow the law. And these kinds of things start becoming less viable. Maybe I'll be wrong, but again, you all know I'm biased because I draw a hard line there.
Doesn't matter.
Let's talk about the BitKit wallet you guys have, John. It aims to redefine the Bitcoin wallet experience. Well, in my opinion, it can be redefined, so it's very welcome. But this makes us also very curious, because what makes it so different from other wallets in your opinion?
I would say there's a lot of similarities, but you know, as far as that claim, I have a design background. We have pretty good designer on our own team, a really good designer. And we kind of just approach the wallet from, let's just ignore what everybody else is doing. Well, we didn't technically do that. Of course, we research everything and have references and stuff like this so we can create a mental model of what we're getting ourselves into. But we have no loyalties to any current conventions. And so we try to just think, what would actually make the most sense when solving this, you know, miniature problem within designing this application? And, you know, designing this application turns into like 10,000 decisions like this, and you end up with a very opinionated, you know, thing that represents the people that created it. I think that's probably true of every wallet, but in our case, we are very much branding and design oriented, and that our company is not like a lot of Bitcoin companies and wallet companies are CTO led or engineer led in general.
Yeah.
And I'm not an engineer. And so I'm a little more trying to make sure that this is a unique or good or novel user experience. Sometimes we get things right, sometimes we get them wrong, but we've had like other wallets copy some of the things that we do, like little nuances in the user experience. And that's cool to see. We also like keep trying to push the envelope with like small things. Like for example, the sats symbol campaign that we did recently. I don't know if you guys caught that, but
yeah.
That's just like, we just think about it. Like when you start from scratch and you just throw away all your loyalties, you think, okay, like, why are we doing this? Why are we trying to figure out how to like have all these decimal places that don't really exist and all these spaces between zeros so people can count the numbers? It's like, just do what it really is and just remove all this crap and just call it Bitcoin. And as it turns out, like we don't even use the word sats in our app. It's not necessary to like use it. You know what I mean? Like we don't have to refer to the name of those units. We just have to show what kind of unit it is, right? And nobody uses like the cent symbol anymore. So why are we using a sat symbol? It just doesn't make sense to me.
No. I mean, if you put it that way,
making it easier. It's a design perspective, right? To challenge that, how it's being done.
It is. I also have some biases on that one too, where I actually feel like the decimal place in the Bitcoin, you know, like one whole Bitcoin, has actually caused some miseducation with people. Like they think Bitcoin is divisible and it isn't really. They feel like they'll never get a whole Bitcoin. Like there's a lot of little nuances that this is just, they extend from this incorrect base, you know?
Yeah. And I also see limitless web. So the experience, the web without limits. So you guys are trying to make portable profiles, feeds, and dynamic contacts and passwordless accounts. So this is also to make the web browsing experience a little lot easier. Can you elaborate on that? Why you guys also chose to get that built in?
Sure. I got off on a little design tangent, but yeah, the overview with BitKit is that it is a self-custodial wallet or a keychain, you might even say, for any keys that you would actually need, at least through a Bitcoin or context. So it is an on-chain wallet. There's a Lightning wallet and we use LDK nodes. So there's a Lightning node in the wallet. And then there's slash tags, which is our peer-to-peer protocol. And so there are some features that demonstrate some of the things you can do when you use keys as a basis for identity and accounts and things like this for social media. I mean, sorry, for the web and social media. Slash tags features are demonstrated in BitKit, but the protocol is actually a much bigger project than that. We have basically paused public work on that. And so we've kind of been in stealth with slash tags for a while. And we legally have to rename it. We couldn't secure the name properly. And so it's getting a new name, but it's good. It's a good thing because the old slash tags is kind of dead and the new one is, you know, significantly different and better. And so we'll probably start releasing some details for that in a few weeks, but it will overall, the main release won't probably be till October.
Hey, and the social profile, because I was seeing how it will look. Is it also possible to add nodes or to message to another person? Because I was almost thinking, well, a Noster is really giving you control over your own identity. Perhaps you're thinking about implementing it.
So the first question is no, not yet. You can't do messaging. Not with the current design. I mean, you could definitely string it together if you wanted to. We just don't do it in BitKit. As far as Noster goes, I would challenge your portrayal. I would say, yes, Noster is very comparable, but Noster actually is pretty bad at the identity part. There's not really much intention put into the key management, the way people use keys. Mostly people are putting their private key into trusted applications. And so that's the part that they probably worked on the least. Again, I don't follow too closely, so they may have corrected some things or have plans to correct them. But as far as what I know about it, that's one of the weaker sides. But yes, there's a lot of similarities to what's happening with Noster. I would just say we changed. We're doing things different in the ways that we think they're doing them wrong. And so that's, you know, our opinion on it. We also are having more of a kind of cathedral model versus the bazaar model, where they have a lot of people and a lot of chaos, and that's something that is very interesting and useful. Like, I don't mean that as an insult, chaos.
No.
I'm actually, that's the main thing I'm jealous of with Noster, is that they were there first to get that chaos through the Bitcoin lens. They got Bitcoiners interested in this.
Yeah.
And so that's the main thing that I see that they've accomplished. But we're like, we know what we want to do. We don't necessarily need the help of the entire community to get there. We can see where the end is, and we're just trying to create, you know, all the code that we need to get there. So the iteration is more intentional, I guess you could say, and less chaotic or less mutated.
Yeah. Hey, the wallet itself has a lot of features, for example, live widgets, and we already talked about some. What are for you the most appealing features that you would, for you personally, that you were like, well, this is the reason why I would use this wallet?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of hidden, but I think the coolest feature is that you can pay contacts. And this works in a way that is much cooler than you might see with Noster or other things, in that it has this thing in the background that we're changing the name of this too, but we're releasing it as an entire tool, but called SlashPay. And what it does is, it when you add a contact, you're adding just a generic key. But when you look up that key on a DHT, you can actually go and find any different payment endpoints. And so this is basically a way to like do different types of payments, different payment methods, and match them in the background so the user doesn't have to know. And this is very simplified in BitKit at the moment, but it could be any payment methods. As an example, like BitKit only supports Bitcoin on chain and Lightning as payment methods. Well, suppose something like Exodus Wallet, which is a shitcoin wallet, they also have Lightning and they have Bitcoin, but they have Ethereum as well. Well, if they supported this protocol, then they'd be able to like have contacts that were common across these two applications, even though the payment methods are not necessarily common. And the user wouldn't have to care what the end other user, you know, wants or whatever. They just automatically choose to pay that user, and it automatically finds whatever the matching payment method is, and it uses that as the delivery mechanism. And it does this in a self-sovereign way. This data does not have to be hosted on a trusted server. You could host it yourself if you wanted to. And so that's, you know, what I think is the coolest feature in there.
Yeah.
It'll be even cooler once we actually release it for other people to use. Yeah.
Awesome.
Edward, I know we ran out of time, but I really want to ask one more thing, if I may, please.
Of course.
John, because I was thinking, are you guys also planning maybe in the far future to release your own hardware wallet? Because the thing that I am missing is I have tons of Lightning wallet apps on my phone, but I also have my own my multi-sig setup, and I'm now going to test the BitKey from Dorsey. But it would be very cool to have something like that integrated in an app like BitKey, so you can maybe transfer in between, or have both the positives of both ways to keep your Bitcoin, if you know what I mean.
I think BitKey, unfortunate similar name, but I think BitKey is trying to do something like that. I would say,
but they don't support Lightning, for instance, right?
Well, I mean, Lightning you have to live sign. It's a hot wallet. And so to do cold Lightning, which would be the only reason to use hardware, there are some interesting things. I don't know if it was told to me in confidence or not, but Satoshi Labs has some interesting ideas about doing interesting things with Lightning and hardware wallets.
Okay.
And so I'll just summarize and say, I think there's enough good people working on hardware wallets that I don't feel a lot of urgency to enter that arena. My interest isn't in selling a million things. That's not why I'm here. My interest is in solving problems for a million people. And so that problem appears to be getting covered pretty well by, in my opinion, by Satoshi Labs and Trezor and things like that. They're doing it in some of their competitors as well. So I think it's unlikely I would get into that. It's very likely that we'll add support for existing hardware wallets in BitKit. And so there's that. And of course, if those hardware wallets did support interesting things with Lightning, we'd be intrigued to probably support that too. But if I were ever to get into hardware, it'd be more likely that I would get into the arena with Umbral or something like this. I think what they're doing is really interesting. Then again, I think they're doing a great job, so I don't know that I need to get in that arena either. But because of all the peer-to-peer web stuff we're doing, I would just say if we ever were to go in that direction, it would probably be more in the direction of like a personal server or a router or, you know, something that is not a Bitcoin hardware wallet. No,
yeah.
Only it.
Cool. Least. Yeah, it's maybe because my desire of not having tons of apps to interact with the network that I'm a bit autistic. So it's for me, it's better to have just one way to go and have everything combined, maybe.
But failure, Steph.
I'm not stupid.
Decentralization too, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Diversify.
Design
looks great, and
exactly.
Maybe
so, if you have a good looking app an app with which you love to interact with, it would be great to have also your pension in that app. And I know that there will be some things
in
that needs to be solved because it's hot and you don't want everything to be hot. But BitKey is also a hot wallet, or the app is hot because it's on your phone and connected to the internet. And somehow they figured out how to keep all the security backed. So yeah, but maybe it's my desire, and I don't think
you're crazy. I mean, I think that you're just a little early. The ironing out the user experiences in general is still not complete, like just for Bitcoin. And then you have Lightning, and then you have Lightning with hardware, and you have hardware. Like, I think maybe we're just, you know, some years away from that yet. But that you will have that. Like, I'm really interested in doing things with time locks, for example. So I'm looking at what Liana is doing, things like this. And I think that, you know, combining some of that stuff with some hardware stuff, and you'll eventually have what you're looking for, where you can kind of look at, you know, very sensitive stuff in the wallet that you can't actually spend. But, you know, in certain situations, you might be able to. Yeah, I just think it's a little early to have abstracted all that complexity.
Yeah, because in the fiat world, you're doing the same, right? You can view it, so read only it's your pension or something like that. But you, there are some things in place that you can't spend it.
The read only part is easy, that you just use, you know, an XPub or such.
But
there's just a lot to layer together, and it's like I really don't think people even have a clue how much how complex Lightning really is, and how hard it is to actually keep it all strung together the way it is. Like even Lightning protocol engineers don't fully appreciate actually like what it's like to have to implement this into products. It's a big factor, the complexity.
Hey, last thing, can we all use BitKit worldwide?
You can use it worldwide. Right. You can't necessarily buy a channel from us worldwide. If you're in the US, Canada, North Korea, I think, then no, you won't be able to purchase a channel.
But here in the Netherlands or Europe.
Right. You should have no problem. Yeah.
You
can still download and use the BitKit app in the US. Yeah. It's just when you actually try to buy a channel, it won't work. You'll have to get it elsewhere.
Okay. We're definitely going to try it out. So great. And we're going to follow it. So maybe some next time somewhere. We would be delighted to have you on the show back, or on a couch at a conference. That will be great.
Drinking a beer too.
Tilted.
Well, we have one question left for you, John. And the cool thing is, you may choose yourself. So we prepared a question from Alexander Leishman. He's from River. Michael Fisher from Opago, or Dusty Demon. And we talked with him about splicing. So, which one will it be, man?
Let's go with Dusty.
Cool.
All right. Here it comes.
I'm Dusty Demon of Splicing. When and where can you reuse a MuSig 2 knots in a Lightning channel situation?
I don't know. while I do have interest in some of the things that are going on with MuSig, I am very ignorant. I can't answer that question. all I know is I really want splicing, and that's why I picked Dusty. And so I'm glad that he's researching that area and making it happen faster. But no, I'm too ignorant to answer that. I'm not going to pretend.
Well, we will.
Hey, John, we can't put this on X or something with his voice and your answer, right? Or
no, I don't care. I have no problem admitting it. Okay. It's totally fine. I don't want people to think I'm a liar or a bullshitter. That'd be even worse.
No.
Well, we will send him your regards.
Awesome.
That's no problem. Okay, John. Well, thanks for all the work you do within the Lightning space.
Yeah, thanks
again.
It's
always nice to see you going, and keep doing what you're doing, man. And we are following you, and we will following you the coming years.
Yeah, and BitKit. I'm very curious. So definitely.
Yeah, man. Hey, where can people follow you, John?
So on Twitter, I am Bitcoin Error Log. The company website is synonym.to, and then BitKit is similar, bitkit.to. If you want to try the app's still in beta. We're hoping to come out of beta in June, at BTC Prague.
Yeah. Cool. So BTC Prague, if everybody wants to see it live in action, that will be interesting to follow. And thanks to everybody else for listening in, of course. And thanks for all members participating in Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, everybody helping to connect the world with us together. So if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connectworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. So we need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Au revoir, John.
See ya, John.
Thanks, guys.